Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 135 of the Essential Wrestling Podcast. All right, ladies and gents, my name's John DeConti, and we're here to take you through the week that was and preview a big upcoming week of wrestling action, powered as always by the Eastern Observer. Taste that power. Okay, here to help me along is our UK and European expert, Gary Mahaffey. Gary, how are things this evening?
Things are good. The weather's finally taking a turn for the better slightly over here this week. So everything's looking good and a good few days of watching wrestling. So
very nice. Did you get that snow day last week?
Unfortunately not. No. Rage. Yeah. I tried so hard. I moved it all around the car to make it look like it was a lot, but it didn't work.
And also here to help us is our stateside NXT guru.
And number four, John Smith.
John Smith, how are you this evening?
Good, man. Been watching Rumbles all week. Got another week of Rumbles to watch. And then I got it. It's the best time of year. Yeah.
Completely agree. WrestleMania is WrestleMania, but I get more excited for the Rumble than just about anything. It's my favorite day of the wrestling year. All right. We're going to recap all the shows from last week for you, pick the matches that we know about for the upcoming week, and as always, our picks are sponsored by ProWrestlingPick'em.com. Play against your friends. Play against the universe. And ladies, or fellas, she'll like it too.
And it's, ladies, I'm single. Ladies.
All right, where'd we leave off last week on the AEW roll-ups? Don't get that wrong. It's a couple of lashes and some push-ups. Raw is in the lead. And let's go back to the three-way there. There we go. We'll see where we go from there. And let's jump right into NXT. That's certainly not the main event for this week because we got big, big things happening with the main roster. But let's kick it off by talking about last week's episode where Tony D took Stax to the bridge, where Stax thought he was going to get whacked. Instead, he got upgraded. He got promoted. Now he's an underboss. It's amazing. Who the hell cares? Grayson Waller sat down with Vic Joseph. He bought himself a nice NXT replica from the WWE shop so he can hold that over his shoulder and just kind of touch it and pet it and think about what it'll be like to wear the real one until he has a chance to go to Charlotte and get it. Bron Breakker sat down with Vic Joseph later. He heard that news. He laughed. He called Grayson Waller the Chael Sonnen of NXT because he talks a lot of crap and then gets his ass kicked. That, as a UFC fan, that made me really laugh. Dijak said that Wesley is next up on his hit list. He will soon learn hard justice. And Julius and Brutus Creed continued to argue like eight-year-olds, and Ivy Nile continued to play mommy. But the show started with some in-ring action between a very exciting team of Axiom and Apollo Crews, and they took on Trick and Mello. John Smith, what did this one look like?
Well, the nice fast-paced match between these two teams. I mean, not too many like double teams going on because they're not true tag teams here. But a lot of nice fast-paced wrestling. At the end of it, Mello went for his leg drop, and Apollo kind of moved out of the way, and Mello put his legs around his waist and went to roll forward for a roll-up, but Apollo dropped to his knees and held the legs, and we got our first AEW roll-up of the week. Right off the bat of NXT, and a win for Apollo and Axiom. I mean, we all thought Trick was going to be counting the lights, but
yeah. And then afterwards, in a slightly out of character moment, Apollo made sure to catch Trick and Mello coming out of the building, bust their balls unmercifully. So something tells me this one's not necessarily over, but we'll see where it goes from there. Let's see. What else did we have last week? Last week we had Big Body Javi welcoming Tyler Bate back to the States. Gary, I was going to throw this one to you, but unfortunately for Tyler Bate, Javi wasn't a great dance partner. It was a sub 4 minute win. Javi doesn't know how to take a Tyler driver. That's for sure.
Yeah.
That was, to quote JR, bowling shoe ugly ending. But the big strong boy is back, and we're all happy. Yeah.
Good to see him back. And obviously, he's back for good this time, I think he said. So
he says, and we're excited about that for sure. But here's something you can tell us all about, Gary. Gallus took on Briggs and Jensen in tag team action. How'd this one go down?
Again, another good tag match. A lot of the story at the start, you had Gallus obviously beating him down, and Mark Coffey would go for a move, but Briggs would reverse it. Or then you had Jensen going for a suplex, but Coffey blocked it and would reverse it. But the big story of it would be that Joe Coffey, pardon me. Mark Coffey got Brooks Jensen and dropped him onto the exposed concrete. Fallon Henley runs out to check on him to see if he's okay as Josh Briggs keeps fighting on. But then from the back out runs Kiana James just to check to see if he's doing okay. And as they help him up and as they're kind of both bickering slightly over helping him and what's going on, Gallus get the upper hand and they hit their power slam kick combo, which I can never remember the name of, and they get the win, and the Gallus boys are still on top.
Indeed they are. And the ladies continued to argue a little bit backstage. Fallon Henley had some words for Jensen, said, you know, she's just using you, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what she's using him for. For his mullet, perhaps. I don't know. But eventually later on, Fallon decided to apologize. She shouldn't have said those things about her. And to make it up to Jensen, she's going to team with Kiana this week. We don't know who they're taking on, but it's ladies' night on NXT because all the matches and all the segments that we know of in advance, about five of them, all involve the women's division. So we've got that to look forward to this evening. Let's see. Also, in the ladies' division, Thea Hale got her first NXT victory when she beat Valentina Ferraris, who was passed a set of brass knucks by Electra Lopez, and decided not to use them. She would then, Thea Hale, I don't know if she trained with him while he was down there, but I'm pretty sure there's no other way you can describe what she used as a finisher but LA Knight's blunt force trauma. She took her down with a cravat into a cutter, got the victory. So this week, Thea Hale will get a big award ceremony for her first victory from her fellow students and Andre Chase of Chase U. Speaking of Electra Lopez, she approached Valentina afterwards. They asked her why she didn't accept him. Valentina says, I don't cheat. And Electra said, you got to do everything you can, no matter what, to get victories around here. Well, Electra gets a chance to put that plan in action this week when she takes on Wendy Chu. John Smith, who you got winning in this one?
I mean, they've given Wendy Chu so many big victories lately that I wasn't expecting her to get. Ooh. But then Electra, like, she's kind of getting built up as like a big heel, so this one's tough. I'm just gonna go with Wendy Chu because they've been giving her the world recently.
All right, Gary, where do you weigh in on this one? We know who you want to win.
Oh, who wants it?
But who do you think will?
I mean, I'd nearly even pick Jenny if she was in it. I mean, it's like I'm gonna go. No, I can't. Against my better judgment, while I agree, probably John's probably right. I just can't. I can't go for it. So I'm gonna say Electra Lopez. I just can't bring myself.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm gonna agree with you, Gary. I think after Electra talks smack to Valentina, she's probably, if she's got to cheat to win, she's got to cheat to win to show her, like, see, I told you this is how it's done. So that's what I think is going to happen. But it's the women's division. Neither one of them are going for a title anytime soon. At least we don't think so at this moment. So anything that happens is not going to surprise us.
And Valentina might stop her from cheating.
Ah, there you go. That is absolutely a possibility. All right, where do we go next? So Stevie Turner, again, had one of her promos where she was streaming live. And, you know, this is her, I don't know, YouTube show, Twitter show, whatever she was doing. And anyway, she said if she had been in the Battle Royal, of course she would have won. Speaking of the Battle Royal, Toxic Attraction came out to the ring to brag about winning the Battle Royal. Lyra Valkyria came out to say that if Cora Jade hadn't cheated, she certainly would have won. Toxic Attraction doesn't care what she has to say. They just start beating the hell out of her. Roxanne makes the save. Later on, we get Roxanne and Lyra teaming to take on Toxic Attraction. They get the win when Roxy hits Pop Rocks on Gigi, and the show ends with the Toxic Attraction ladies bickering with one another. Staying in the women's division, Tiffany Stratton had some issues with Indy last week. Indy didn't like the fact that Tiffany had her own dressing room. She decided to commandeer it. So this week they're going to fight about it. Let's go back to you, Gary. Tiffany Stratton, Indy Hartwell this week. Who gets the victory?
I actually in some ways find this one hard to choose. But I will say I think with Tiffany Stratton coming back and needing to get just a little bit of momentum behind her for just being back in, I'm going to say that Tiffany will win.
All righty. John Smith, Tiffany and her two new best friends, or Indy Hartwell?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I agree with Heck Gary. It's pretty hard to choose which one is going to win this one. But, yeah, I'm going with our new puppies to go over on this one.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with both of you gents. I think, Tiff's just back. I keep that big Indy Hartwell push, but I don't think it starts here. I think Tiffany Stratton will get it done. Last week, we saw Sol Ruka pull one out when she was facing Alba Fire in that match that was, you know, payback or get back from weeks ago when Isla Dawn interfered and there was no match. Isla Dawn interfered this time just by showing her face. She was up on the riser. Alba Fire wasn't paying attention. She was looking at Isla, and she walked right into the Soul Snatcher, Soul's new finishing maneuver. She got the victory. Afterwards, Alba Fire flipped out backstage. Katana Chance and Caden Carter tried to calm her down. Alba wound up snapping at them and saying, you know what? Maybe I'll come for the tag titles. As it stands right now, she does not have a partner. She intends to go into this one all on her own. John Smith, does Alba Fire become the tag team champions?
I highly doubt it. No, I'm going with the current champions to retain here.
All right.
It would be cool, though, if Isla Dawn came out as her partner and then they somehow won. I mean, are they going to do that to Casey and Caden? Maybe.
Well, you see, that's the kind of thing that happens all the time in the WWE. Yeah. Somebody goes out there because their partner's injured or you got jumped backstage, didn't show up. And then just anyone shows up and grabs the tag rope in the corner and suddenly they're their partner. So I had exactly that thought, John Smith, that maybe Isla pulls a Raven Tommy Dreamer thing and comes out and, you know, blind tags herself in and they wind up winning. Well, let's hear from you, Gary. Who do you think walks away with the women's tag team titles?
Yeah, I do. I think that there'll be the title change, and I think it will be whether Isla comes down and blows mist behind the referee's back into somebody's face or does something just for to sort of almost to screw with Alba Fire because, look at us now we're together type of thing. So, I would say it's going to be the new Scottish tag team champions are going to take over.
You mean British, right? Oh, never mind. They all look the same, damn it.
Mexican.
All I'm going to go with you, Gary. I think it's a great storyline if we get new champs tonight. And if someone actually did, whether it's Isla or someone else, I can't imagine who else it would be. But someone joins Alba and we get new champs, that would be highly entertaining. And, you know, the hell with the men's division. That's pretty much it for NXT. Moving on to SmackDown, where the Bloodline was heavily involved last week. Big surprise. It started out with Sammy being – they showed up in style. Everybody got out of the big SUVs. Sammy looked for a little fist bump from Roman, and Roman just glared at him and walked on. Afterwards, Roman was chatting with Heyman, who told him, "Man, maybe, you know, we're fighting KO. Maybe we should keep him in the group for now. Let's be nice for now." So Roman kind of apologized without apologizing, and we move along. No big deal. Kevin Owens is coming up, as we know. At the end of the show, we had the big contract signing, and KO put the tribal chief through a table, and the last person to come down and try and help out was Sammy, who was conspicuous by his absence. That played out later on, as we found out, too. But most of SmackDown last week was about this little mini tournament for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. On one side of the bracket, things kicked off with Drew McIntyre and Sheamus taking on the Viking Raiders. Gary, tell us all about this one.
I nearly had a panic. I was moving my mouse down to bring my notes up, and I almost hit leave studio as it was going across, and I was like, panic. It's a great match, and let's say it was four big boys just beating the tar out of each other. I loved a couple of sequences in it that I love to see. You had Sheamus getting Ivar and putting him in for the 10 beats of Boron, and as Eric interrupted him, and you think, oh, that'll be the Viking Raiders getting their bit in, but no, Sheamus turned around and then just beat him with the 10 beats instead. A lot of good throws and suplexes and knees and so on. Again, the other bit I love to see was when Drew does that, shows his core strength in the corner and pulls himself up from the tree of woe and does the suplex off the top, which is always impressive looking. But as we came down the stretch, Valhalla got involved and distracted Sheamus as he was going for a bro kick. But after a little bit of back and forward, Sheamus hit Ivar with a pump knee in midair, Drew hit the claymore, and then Sheamus hit him with the bro kick, hit Ivar with the bro kick for the very clean and decisive 1-2-3.
Yeah, now, it's Drew McIntyre and Sheamus. You can never be surprised when they go over anyone, but I did not see it break. In this match, I didn't think we would see them go completely clean over the Viking Raiders. Not that they don't deserve to do so, but I thought you would try and keep the Viking Raiders strong somehow here. Also on that side of the bracket, we had Hit Row taking out Los Lotharios with a cha-ching, an AEW roll-up on Umberto. That brings us to this week, where we will have Drew McIntyre and Sheamus taking on Hit Row in round two of the tournament. John Smith, who comes out of this one and heads on to the finals.
I mean, I feel like we're headed for a Bang Bros versus Usos match again. So I guess I'm just going to go with the Bang Bros.
All righty. That makes total sense. I don't think we really need to ask, but Gary, please tell us who you think.
Yeah, I'm going to go the same. I do think there's some that on further on down the line. I think that's the match we'll get. And then I think something will come out of that to head towards Mania. But I do think that, yeah, we'll have Drew and Sheamus going over again.
Alrighty. On the other side of the bracket, we had Legato taking care of Maximum Male Models. Now, I know Legato are your boys. I was going to give this match to you, John Smith, but this was a 3-minute kind of match. So why don't you break down the other one on that side of the bracket, which is Imperium and the Brutes.
But I wanted to pose like the Maximum Male Models.
You can do that anytime, my dude.
At least they got that in, right?
Yeah.
Well, Imperium versus the Brawling Brutes, very hard-hitting match. Didn't go nearly as long as the Viking Raider match with the Bang Bros, but still a good one. Butch ended up taking a sick brainbuster outside of the ring, and somehow Vinci was able to just throw Ridge Holland up for that Imperium bomb with no effort whatsoever. Very impressive. And the Imperium advances on to the next round to face Legado, right?
Yes, indeed. And we're going to, you might as well pick that one right there. Imperium versus Legado to see who goes on to the finals.
Little heel on heel action. If Santos was involved, I think then they would win, but I'm going to go with Imperium here.
All righty. Gary, what do you say about that side of the bracket? Imperium and Legado del Fantasma.
Yeah, I'll go with John. I'm actually for the same reason, I think, as well. As he was saying, that if Santos was involved, then it was more on that side of things. But I do think that Imperium will go over.
Yeah, I'm on the same page as you folks. I think we're going to get a very international finals with Imperium facing Drew and Sheamus. We had Charlotte Flair having some words. She called out Sonya Deville after Sonya cheap shotted her last week. Pierce came out to try and get between the two, and Sonya used this distraction to take another cheap shot at Charlotte. We haven't heard Sonya declare for the Rumble. Charlotte obviously doesn't need to go in it. Do we get these two at the Rumble? As of right now, it is not booked, so we won't pick it, but kind of looks like it's headed that way. Not entirely sure. Lastly, coming up this week, we had Karrion Kross as well as four or five other people tell us with 100% certainty that they are going to win the Rumble. And of course, 90% of them are going to wind up being wrong. But on his way to the Rumble, Karrion Kross this week is going to take out Rey Mysterio, according to him. Gary Mahaffey, what say you? Rey Mysterio versus Karrion Kross this week on SmackDown.
I would assume Karrion Kross, and then you can always sort of reheat Ray if they're heading towards he and Dom at WrestleMania. So I'm going to say Karrion Kross.
All righty. John Smith, Ray, Karrion Kross. What do you say?
I mean, if this is leading towards WrestleMania, then I got Ray getting like a sneaky victory and then Kross like eliminating him the next day. But if it's not leading to WrestleMania, then I think Kross wins. So, and then Ray eliminates him at the Rumble the next day. So, I'll go with Kross because they probably will do the Dom and Ray thing for WrestleMania, or they should because Dom is like so over right now.
Yeah. Yeah, John Smith, I 100% agree with the second scenario you laid out there. Kross gets the victory here, maybe even beats on Ray a little bit extra, and then Ray surprisingly takes him out of the Rumble, kind of out of nowhere, maybe being behind his, you know, drop kicks him to the back, kind of like a Maven and Taker, kind of, you know, knocks him out when he's not paying attention, and oh my God, Ray took out the big man. So yeah, I'm going with Karrion Kross on that one. Lastly on SmackDown, Lacey Evans. Have you heard? She's a Marine. She's coming back for Operation Camel Clutch. I'm assuming we will see her at the Rumble because...
Now, how does she apply the Camel Clutch?
We are yet to see it.
I could go for a nice
Camel toes.
Clutch right now.
Depending on the positioning, that could be the greatest Camel Clutch of all time. Moving on to last night on Raw, where we celebrated 30 years of Monday Night Raw, even though the anniversary was 2.5 weeks ago. We started off the show with Hulk Hogan and Jimmy Hart coming out. Hulk Hogan's mic didn't work, and he never sounded better, brother. We had a really good Greatest Moments of Raw video package. Then we had the Bloodline, who, as we were discussing backstage, were supposed to be coming out with multiple generations of the Bloodline for a big acknowledgement ceremony. Apparently, some of the Bloodline could not make it, could not jump on a plane and get there for health reasons or otherwise. So they switched on the fly and put on a fantastic segment that was the trial of Sami Zayn. Sammy was found not guilty, although Paul Heyman really leaned into all the evidence that he had against him. But Jey Uso, of all people, came to Sammy's defense. Sammy was found not guilty for now, and he got to finish out the evening where he played a role in the tag title match. And then Roman said, I don't want to see him again till the Rumble. Basically, get him out of my face. Roman, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, has no patience for Sammy. But speaking of that tag title match, it was the Usos defending against the Judgment Day. Jimmy would get a boo-boo and have to be taken out. Adam Pearce said, if he, you can't work. Not only do you lose the match, you lose the titles. I don't know that we've ever necessarily heard that, but because we had just had Dom tag in for Finn Balor playing the whole Freebird game, we got Sammy Uso tagging in for Jimmy Uso to finish this match, and he assisted Jey in the 1D, and they got the 1-2-3 on Dom. The Usos retain the Raw tag titles. That was the first match of the evening, and the last match of the evening was equally exciting and also had a belt on the line. It was the United States title. John Smith, tell us how this one went down.
Well, Theory came out on a mission. He looked really good at the beginning, and he ended up going and grabbing a steel chair because it was a no DQ, and he hit Bobby in the back with it, set it up in the corner, only to have it be, his efforts be thwarted, and he goes through the chair on his own when trying to smash Bobby into the corner. The real story of this match, though, after these guys went at it for about 10 minutes was, yesterday afternoon, I said, Brock comes out, costs Bobby the match, Theory wins, Brock versus Bobby at Mania. And then, like 5 hours later, I posted underneath it, that aged perfectly. Because that's exactly what happened. Brock Lesnar comes out, F5 on Bobby Lashley, who had just done an offensive maneuver, but for some reason was able to just be yanked up onto Brock's shoulders and F5'd. And then Theory gets scooped up, F5'd on top of him for the 1-2-3. And Brock just leaves. Doesn't continue a beat down, nothing.
My work is done here. All right, Gary, you were just talking to me in the private chat. Apparently, there was plenty of nostalgia last night. We had the Godfather, JBL, Farouk was there. The APA doorframe was there. We had Poker. We had Alundra Blaze and her trash can title. DDP, Ted DiBiase, IRS, Kurt Angle. DX, Kurt Angle trying to become a member of DX, and Gary, apparently it paid off, huh?
Yeah, I've just seen the ratings there. They're saying it's the best ratings in almost 3 years. It was 2.34 million, and they did a 0.7, 18 to 49, but the first hour was actually 2.64 million and 0.8 in 18 to 49. So it literally, apparently, the demo beat everything, like all the Bachelor, all the shows that are actually top, they beat everything for that first hour ad free. So,
yeah, well, at a 2.3 for the whole show, that's better than your average weekly SmackDown. So,
yeah, and they're actually saying even it was a big drop. I was reading there, it was a big drop to the third hour, but it was still 2.02 million for the third hour. Like it was way up higher than most of the hours were. So everything really seems to have hit a home run.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I bust WWE's balls, especially Monday Night Raw. Well, especially NXT, but secondarily Monday Night Raw. And I can tell you that for the first time in, it might be the 3 years that you were talking about with the ratings there, I didn't feel like the show dragged at all. Like usually I find myself saying like, oh, Jesus Christ, what time is it? How far are we into the show? And I'm expecting to look down at the little clock in the bottom corner of my computer as I'm taking my notes and see like 10 after 10. And it's like 8:32. And then I'm really angry for the next 2.5 hours. Last night, I didn't look at the clock until right around 10 o'clock. That's how like smooth and enjoyable the show was. So credit where credit's due. There was some goofiness, but it was a celebration. It was a throwback. It was the 30th anniversary. You expect a little goofiness, and I think they did a great job of it. All right, let's see. Oh, I forgot to say Teddy Long came out and made a tag team match player. And that tag team match wound up being Seth Rollins and the Street Profits, which, again, was an odd pairing, but again, it didn't really matter in the storyline because Rollins is a heel, Street Profits are faces. They beat Imperium with Rollins hitting the stomp on Vinci. And then back on SmackDown, as we now move towards the Royal Rumble portion of the programming, back on SmackDown, we had LA Knight make quick work of a guy named Ren Jones. Afterwards, Bray Wyatt welcomed us to the Firefly Funhouse on the Tron again. We heard, you know, the voice of Uncle Howdy in the background saying, "I told you so, he's gone back to evil, blah, blah, blah." Roll it forward. We're going to the Rumble, and we're getting, come on now, Al took the time to upload these. Bear with me, folks. Boom! The Mountain Dew Pitch Black match. John Smith, LA Knight, Bray Wyatt, Pitch Black. No idea what the hell that's going to mean, but who do you see winning?
I definitely Bray. I just don't know what, like, why this is even happening. It's so weird. Yeah. It just doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I'm letting Bray Wyatt tell his story because he's probably been writing this for the past 5 years, but... You know, why has it got Mountain Dew attached to it? It really, like, turns me off to the whole thing.
Exactly. Literally, the first time I heard it, I heard Pitch Black or whatever, and in my brain I processed it as Lights Out or blah, blah, blah. And then they ran it again, and I went, what is that symbol down in the corner? They, you know, the graphic was small, and I'm like, is that the goddamn Mountain Dew symbol? Are you kidding me? Gary,
the purple. The soda is purple. The soda is purple. Well, like, what the hell are they doing?
The ring's going to be bathed in purple light. It makes perfect sense now.
Yeah, there was a rumor that there's going to be like neon lights and stuff and all involved in it. I read last week somewhere. So I don't know. I mean, again, I do have Bray winning it. And I hope to goodness they're getting an awful lot of money for this tie-in because they need to. Because it's the fact that all the commentators keep going, oh, it's the Mountain Dew Pitch Black match. Like, we don't know what the rules are, but I'm sure it'll be really good because obviously they haven't decided yet. But, yeah, Bray should take it.
Yeah, we don't know what the rules are, and we're not going to bother to tell you, but let me tell you all about our sponsor. Speaking of our sponsor, ProWrestlingPick'em.com, once again, Al went through the trouble of uploading these things. I can finally click on them. Here's where our standings are. Now, if you took your finger and put it on your phone or however you're consuming this and blocked that top line, Al at 1040, Beavis at 1029, myself at 1019, that we're having ourselves a nice little competition here. Now remove your finger again and realize how sick we all are of looking at Brian Roy at the top. Here are our WWE-specific standings. And you'll notice all three of your co-hosts today are at the bottom half of this list. Here's all the points I personally won't be getting. 25 points for the Undisputed. I might get the 25 points. I'm assuming I'm going to get those. But the one on the bottom there that says the perfect pay-per-view bonus. If all trends hold, I'm the only one without one so far this year. So I won't be seeing those 25 points. 15 points for all of the title matches. Of course, that includes the women's title matches. 5 for non-title matches. And I guess that would include the Pitch Black match. And then 20 for the Rumble. And we make our picks of the final four for a little bit of extra points. There are so many points to be had. If we could just get Maggie May to maybe slip Ryan Roy a drink and he forgets to make his picks, we can all get back in this, fellas.
Word.
All right. So we've made our picks for LA Knight and Bray Wyatt. Next up, the Raw women's title, Bianca Belair defending against Alexa Bliss. Gary, let's go to you, sir. Alexa Bliss, Bianca Belair, the Raw women's title. Who do you see coming out of this one on top?
I do. Like, I always find it hard to pick against Alexa. I don't know why, because it's just always feel that they could do something with her. But I don't think this is for her. I think the Princess of Bel Air is going to take this, and we're going to have Bianca will be winning this one pretty, not necessarily straightforwardly, but pretty decisively.
All righty, John Smith, where do you weigh in on this one?
I give up. I've been picking against her for so long, Bianca, and I always lose. So I'm not picking against her again until she loses. All right, Bianca.
Yeah. That's the really tough thing here is Bray and Uncle Howdy are involved in this, you know, in this show. They're going to be there. But we really still don't know where they stand with Little Miss Bliss. Like, they've shown up. They've, you know, random guys wearing Uncle Howdy masks have freaked her out, but then they kind of helped her when they showed up when she was fighting Bianca into the fans and kind of got her out of trouble so that she could turn the tables on Bianca. But we still don't know if eventually they're going to be there to help her or hurt her. And just like John Smith, I've picked against Bianca for, if this title reign has been 8 months long, probably for 6 months straight, and it just hasn't worked out. So let's go with our forever champion and say Bianca will get it done here. And if I miss out on these points because I finally picked her and the title change happens, I'm going to break a computer whatever computer I'm watching. Okay, so last night on Raw, we never got apparently what was it? I think the trial, the opening segment went too long. So rather than cut out, I don't know, something stupid like Bianca in a non-title match against a person for the Raw, she's the Raw champion, and this person's not even on the Raw roster. Now, don't cut that. We've got to see Bianca slap her own ass in the corner. Let's cut out the match that we took the extra time to hang a goddamn cage for. We got no cage match between Becky and Bayley. Presumably they both go into the Royal Rumble. So next up, we are going to pick the Women's Rumble. But once again, because we're all friends here with Al Carl, the guru of numbers, especially when it comes to the Rumble, let's take a look at some of them. Your most wins, yeah, we've only been doing this since 2018 for the ladies, so nobody's got more than one so far. Your final four finishes, Charlotte, who probably will not be in it because she's already holding a title, and so is Bianca, will probably not be adding to those numbers. Shayna and Natalya, perhaps. Let's see. Most appearances, Carmella, who we haven't seen in forever, Dana, who we haven't seen forever, Liv, we already know is going to be in there. She's one of all of seven women that we know are going to be in there. And we believe she is entering at number one at her own request. Naomi's not with the company. Natalya, we haven't seen forever. Tamina, we haven't seen forever. We'll see where that goes. We know at the very least Liv is going to move ahead and break that tie. Most eliminations. Bianca probably will not be adding to that. Shayna, two by Shayna, two by Charlotte. And Michelle McCool in the first one. How about that? I totally forgot about that one. Your all-time total eliminations. Charlotte, again, in all likelihood, not adding to that. Neither will Bianca. So Shayna has a chance to jump on top of this graphic by the end of next week. And Nia Jax will, in all likelihood, not be adding to her total. And the longest duration, we got Bianca at 57 minutes. This one's a toss-up every year. Who in God's name knows what will happen there? But ladies and gentlemen, we're now going to pick the Women's Royal Rumble. John Smith, who do you see winning this one? And if you've thought far enough ahead, give me your final four, or at least a couple of them. Who do you got winning?
Okay, so this one, I kind of feel like I feel like Bayley should win it, but in kayfabe world, I feel like she should win it. But I think that Rhea Ripley should be the one that takes this thing down. So You know what? I'm gonna say Bailey and Becky just eliminate each other somehow, and I'm gonna go with Rhea Ripley here. As far as the final four, it's tough, man. I'm gonna go with EO.
Okay.
I'm gonna go with come back to me on the other two.
All righty. Gary, how do you see this one working out? Who's your winner? And if you've given any thought to a couple of your final fours or perhaps all four of them?
Final four, I don't know. It could easily be for all of us declared, as we said before, we've only had seven declared. So the final four could end up being Stephanie McMahon, Jimmy, and flipping Alundra Blaze as part of it. But I'm going to go with John's nearly pick there. It's sort of since before Christmas, I've had my two Rumble winners in my head that I thought that were where they were going to go, and Rhea Ripley was where I thought they were going to go. And so I'm not going to change that. I'm going to stick with it and think that that's the direction we'll head.
All righty. Just as we've been joking around, there's only seven women who have been announced for the Royal Rumble so far. Liv has said she wants, because she loves chaos, she wants to enter at one and go through the whole chaos of the whole thing.
So I think she will. I think she'll be there towards the end, to be fair about it, and kind of make it look like she's going to do it.
Yeah.
No, she's not.
Exactly. So, yes, I'm going to have her in my final four. So you got Liv, you got Rhea, you got Candice LeRae, Raquel Rodriguez, Shayna Baszler, Zelina Vega, and Emma. Literally, that's the only people. Other than maybe Maxine Dupri when everyone was telling Liv how silly she was to enter a number one, there have been no other mentions of the Royal Rumble on the women's side of the roster. I cannot remember a year where we've had so little build for who's actually going to be in it.
Raquel too.
Yeah. That was one of the ones.
Did you say that? Sorry.
Yes, sir. And in fact, she's going to be, this is picking with my heart, not my head. As it stands right now, I'm going to say Raquel Rodriguez wins this thing because I want it to be so. Rhea, I think, will definitely be there at the end. I think it would be awesome if it came down to those two battling it out for a good 5 minutes after everybody else is eliminated. I'm going to have Liv in there. And then God only knows. I'd love to see EO there too, like John Smith said. But yeah, I haven't thought that far ahead to have all four of my final four. John, any final thoughts on your final
definitely
four?
Definitely going with that Liv thought that you guys had. And then I'm gonna throw Raquel in there because that's basically playing the odds as a betting man. I feel like that makes the most sense. Unless they all just gang up on her halfway through the match just to get her out. You know, if she's dominating the first half of the match, then maybe somebody just grabs on her ankles until they can get some help.
Yes, in fact, Al always kind of does that too. Let's see, single eliminations. Yeah, she's not on this list yet. Every year, he kind of pinpoints one person. I think this person's not gonna win, but gonna get a bunch of eliminations. I think if Raquel does not win, she might top that list and get in other words, if she throws out a ninth person, and in the back of my head, I'm saying to myself, oh my God, she's got the record now. She's going out 5 seconds later. So,
well, her boyfriend has the men's record, so maybe they'll give her the women's record for most eliminations.
That's
I'll be interested to see who they reach out to, whatever. I know there've been talks about people from Impact and people from NXT and stuff again. Although as an outside bet, will we see Mandy Rose back at it? number 30.
that would be a nice
unbelievable. Imagine the pop.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, that is the Women's Rumble. Let's take a look at some of Al Carl's statistics for the Men's Rumble. Your most wins all time. Obviously, we've been doing this for almost 30 years, so we've had some multiple winners here, unlike the women. Stone Cold still leads things, and man, does anybody else get the feeling like now that we're pretty sure Rock's not going to be part of Mania and somehow Steve Austin wasn't part of the Raw 30th anniversary, we might see him? Edge. Yeah, we keep waiting for him to come back. We're probably not going to see Batista. Please, God, no Hulk Hogan. Randy's still on the mend. Triple H is and Shawn they're a little bit busy wearing, you know, grown-up clothes nowadays. And Brock made an appearance this week, so he might be back. Most final fours, Randy Orton running away with this one. God willing, he's better than we're hearing in the rumors, but if his back is the issue that we're hearing that it is, he's probably not extending this one. Most appearances, Kane. You know what? It's taking place in Texas. I would say if it was taking place in Tennessee, you just make him show up, even if he, like, you know, steps in the ring in a suit just to get clotheslined out 5 seconds later. Ziggler has a chance to move up on this list. You know, Kofi's probably going to be there with some kind of crazy way to hang on. Goldust, not likely. Miz, Mysterio, Big Show, also not likely. Most eliminations in a single year, Brock just a couple years ago, Strowman at the greatest Royal Rumble, and Roman, who will not be in this one. Most eliminations all time, Kane still running away with it. Shawn's not going to catch him this year. Taker's not going to catch him this year. I don't know about Austin. Strowman, in all likelihood, will probably make a push to at least get in the top two or three. And longest duration, greatest Royal Rumble, Daniel Bryan going an hour 16. Good Lord. Once again, this one's always a toss-up. Who knows? Let's go back to you, Gary Mahaffey. We have about 15 people announced so far. Kofi, Ricochet, Santos, Gunter, Mysterio, Braun, Karrion Kross, Sheamus, and Drew from SmackDown. Austin Theory, Seth Rollins, Baron Corbin, Bobby Lashley, Cody Rhodes, and Omos from Raw. That's 15 out of the 30 spots. Who do you see taking this one?
I'm going to stick, although I don't think it'll end up happening, but I had decided before Christmas who I thought should be the person to beat Roman at Mania. Never really thought Rock was going to happen, but I was like, okay. But the person who I think is going to beat him and will be, therefore, eventually separated from the bloodline, seeing as he's not blood, will be Miss One Sami Zayn. I'm going to go for is going to win the Rumble. And kind of, we'll still have the, because there was talk of having the tag match of him and Kevin Owens against the Usos maybe in February. I still think that will happen, that Roman will be like, take him out, kick his head in before the end type of thing. And then I'm not sure if they beat him or something happens, but I still think Sami Zayn to do it.
All righty. Any other interesting storylines or debuts or anyone you see getting towards the end there?
I think Solo might end up in towards the end, as sort of in the last four, so that if with Roman having said, I don't want to see Sami until Saturday and all that sort of stuff, he kind of is like making sure you need to do the right thing. So Solo will almost be in there as the enforcer for the bloodline, saying, do the right thing, big boy, over the top. Yeah. And then something happens and Sami kind of dumps him over the top, the big pop, either to win it or to get into the last couple. So,
alrighty. John Smith, who do you got winning the Rumble, and who do you see there being around?
Cody.
Oh, man. No. I think that they're building up the Cody thing because he's not going to win. It's like Rhodes to, you know, whatever. Like, he's not going to win it. I think he's going to be in the final four, though. Yeah. See, the way I've been talking for the past almost year now is Roman's hitting 1,000 days. That's not until May.
Right.
So of all these guys, like, I've got these names written down. I got Randy Orton, Cody, Omos, Edge, Gunther, Braun, Drew, Karrion Kross, Solo. Like, none of them are, like, it doesn't make sense to just have them win just to lose and have Roman go over for a third one in a row. The whole storyline with Sammy, it makes so much sense to have him win. but then also lose. I think he'll lose at WrestleMania. But then, we'll get a nice, 3-month storyline of a buildup of Sammy, and then the Usos might end up turning on Roman and accompanying Sammy to the ring at WrestleMania, and then, then you got Solo with Roman versus Sammy and the Usos, and then the Usos end up, they were on the bloodline side all along, and they screw Sammy over at WrestleMania or something. I think that's the story they should tell, and I'm going to go with Sammy here also, but too many people are on Sammy now, and it's almost like, whenever so many people are on somebody, except for that one year that all of a sudden Randy Orton out of nowhere was the favorite to win because I guess something leaked, it's usually not the case, but I feel like everybody's on Cody kind of, so, I'm going to go with Sammy here. And then, I like the Sammy, Cody, Solo, and let's give a final four to Gunther, I guess.
Okay. I can definitely see that happening. As for me, we've kind of, like John said, we've kind of known that the plan all along was Cody comes back, wins, and then, in all likelihood, and once again, unless they find a smart way to split these goddamn titles up, Cody's supposed to, if he came back and doesn't become world champion at some point, I think he might jump out of a building. He came back.
I'll be there with a camera.
So I'm going to hedge. Flip. I love the idea of Sammy winning it, especially with him kind of being on the outs. So I'm going to have him in my final four, because I'm not convinced that we're not going to get down to the final four and Rollins is going to take Cody out just so they can go right back to their feud. And then there's going to be somebody else. I want to pick the final six, because I want Gunther to be in there at the end. And I want, there's a whole bunch of people. And then it's always going to wind up being something like last year was Dom. Like, there's always going to be someone you didn't see coming, whether it's because they're undersized or just you weren't thinking about them. So it's going to wind up being someone goofy like Von Wagner. Anyway, I'm going to go the safe route and go with the plan that's almost a year old. I'm going to say Cody, but I may change my mind six times between now and when I actually click on it to make the pick. That takes us to the last remaining match, the main event, Kevin Owens, Roman Reigns, for the undisputed 16 other different words, Universal Championship. Let's go back to Gary Mahaffey. Who do you have walking out with all the gold?
I mean, I've got Roman winning, but I do have to be said, I am really looking forward to this. I think they've done a brilliant job of getting everybody behind Kevin, even though deep down their heart, they all think, no, you're not going to win probably, but they've done a really good job, especially the last couple of shows, putting them over strong. I know they, on the one Raw, they had gone over strong, and on SmackDown, they obviously had them through the table and stuff, so they really are doing it. But as I say, I think Roman will continue on until Mania at least.
Yeah. John Smith, what say you?
Clearly, I think that Roman's keeping the title. Does KO win by DQ or countout? Probably not. It'll probably just be some sort of interference in some way. So I'm going to go with Roman.
Yeah, that's the problem about how dominant Roman's title reign has been. We always leave it to the last, just like WWE leaves it to the last, because it's the main event. It's really not in question. But Gary said, I give them credit for making me be interested in this match, because there's really no reason to think that Kevin Owens gets it done. But I'm still excited for this match. Does Sammy turn? Does something happen? Something crazy? Yeah. Roman's going to leave with both of the titles, but I'm still interested in the match, so kudos to you, WWE, for building it in such a way that that is the case. All right, that's going to do it for our coverage of the Royal Rumble. Gary, thank you so much for staying up later than even usual with us. We appreciate you as always.
That's not a problem. It's good to be here. And I'm looking forward to this weekend. And with it being on a Saturday, I'll actually be able to see it, I think. Yeah, on a Sunday night and I'm up for school the next day, it kind of never works. So hopefully I'll see it. But have a good rest of the show and I shall talk to you soon.
Yes, and just before you go, let me put your name back up there, which it hasn't been for probably a half hour because I'm very bad at my job. All right, enjoy the Rumble and the beginning to the road to WrestleMania. We'll see you next time, Gary.
Yeah.
All right, I can take those down. Go to this one and take off the Rumble. What is up next? It would be Impact.
Impact.
Everything seems like a letdown after we've just talked Royal Rumble, doesn't it?
That's the truth.
So last week we knew going in, and unfortunately for some reason last week Impact wasn't real good at updating their website. So really the only thing they had going into last week's show was that Mickie James was going to start the show by coming out and telling us how wonderful she is for winning a title. So I was forced to do something I hate to do and go look for spoilers just to see what matches were coming up. And as it turns out, we had that six-person tag, Mickie, Jordan teaming together after they just faced each other, and Kazarian against Tasha, Savannah, and Bully Ray. Bully Ray walked away from it all. There we are. Mickie James won it coming off the top buckle with a Meteora on Tasha. And afterwards, Masha came out and delivered the death warrant to Mickie. That was how the show started. How it ended was without any ropes. It was a pit fight. It was Ball Bag and Kenny King. And John Smith is going to tell us all about it.
Very, very innovative match, I would say. The ropes were gone. Turnbuckles were gone. It was just the four posts. And, you know, I don't know why they put a covering on the ring, but it's also no DQ, no count out. It was knockout or submission only, no pin either. So we start off, it looks kind of like an MMA fight, you know, pro wrestling style MMA fight. And then it spills to the outside, and then we get like a throw into the steps or into the wall or whatever. And then it's like, okay, now they're going to put some no DQ aspects to this. And, you know, we got a steel chair involved. Kenny King brought it in and, you know, wasn't able to use it. But then later on had a figure four on Speedball who was able to reach for that chair and threw it right into Kenny King's face. Few arm bars put on by Speedball, but one of them was super locked in. They shouldn't have had Kenny King's arm so straight because – you're breaking that arm if you get it that straight. Kenny King, you know, got in his fair share of stuff, but this was all about, like, Speedball, you know, doing his thing. At one point, he climbed up just, like, onto the post and used, you know, the turnbuckle ring where the turnbuckles, you know, kind of hook into to stand on and one foot on the post and did a flip off the top and onto King. We got, you know, once we got back in the ring, he was beaten down in mount position on him, on Kenny King for a while, but Kenny, you know, wasn't getting knocked out. Then we get that steel chair again, and he puts it up against his face, and he does like a shuffling sidestep, boom, sidekick right into the chair, and Kenny King's knocked out, and then he steps back, and he's about to do the kick again, and the ref jumps in the way and calls it a TKO or a KO. I don't know what the official verdict on it was, but it was very well done considering we know that pro wrestling is an MMA,
right?
And they still had a lot of good MMA aspects to it while keeping it pro wrestling at the same time. I think it was booked really well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Nobody pays attention to Impact, but they do such a good job more often than not. They step on their own dicks every once in a while, too, because Impact going to Impact. But, you know, this one was very entertaining.
Word.
And we had, we had Deonna Purrazzo making relatively short work of a young lady named Ashley Dambois. Then backstage, Trey was talking to Ashley and kind of, you know, giving her some pointers and kind of low-key insulting her for not winning and blah, blah, blah. Well, old man Mike Jackson came over and said, Trey doesn't know anything about respect, and he wants to show him some respect. Now, of course, once again, because I read spoilers last week to try and figure out what matches were going to happen, we already picked this match last week. Not that anything was going to change in the last week to make us change our mind. It's a 73-year-old man versus the X Division champion. I'm sure they will make it very entertaining, but we're finally going to get that match this week. We accidentally picked it last week.
Isn't that the Young Bucks' dad?
Yeah, he's the old buck, exactly.
Is he really the other dad, though?
No. No, they call him Action Mike Jackson, but yeah, he's a – and they love to tell us every time that, you know, like, oh, you know, here's footage of him from 40 years ago on Nitro, you know, in a match where they made a – you know, or 30-plus years ago, where they made a point of pointing out at that time that this man you know, God love him, he's 40-plus years old, and he's making his debut here on WCW Monday Nitro. And here he is 30-plus years later, still wrestling an Impact. We had some footage of GM Miller downstairs in the bowels of the building in that arena there in Atlanta, where she finds PCO and asks him, what's next for you? And he can only say one thing. Like me at a rock and roll concert.
Eddie! I thought it was going to be chickens.
Killer Kelly choked out Taylor Wilde in the Killer Clutch. Tommy Dreamer sat down with Dave LaGreca, who apparently does the radio show with him and Buddy Ray, Bully Ray, and said, you know, basically, the crap that you guys got going on here is spilling over to the show. What can we do to have this, you know, just put an end to this? And Dreamer said, nothing. There's nothing that can end it at this point except us going to war. So if you were unenthused about Bully Ray at 50-some years old coming back to fight for the world title, you did get a very good match and a really good storyline out of that. You're going to be less enthused when, for some reason, we have some kind of gimmick match between Tommy Dreamer and Bully Ray sometime in the foreseeable future.
You think it's going to be Extreme Rules?
Do you think? Do you think the 16 fans in attendance are going to chant ECW? ECW?
Nah.
Also, last week, you had the major players backstage with Gia Miller. Moose interrupted them. He was kind of trying to get them to do his dirty work for him and go after Joe Hendry. But Cardona didn't really need much of a shove. He's still pissed that Hendry's walking around with that digital media championship that he thinks belongs to him. So as soon as they're done with the Bullet Club, Cardona's on his way after Hendry. Speaking of the Bullet Club, we're going to get that match this week. It's the major players versus Ace and Bay of Bullet Club. John Smith, who wins this one?
That's going to be a good match. That's tough to call. Mm. I always default to Bullet Club when I don't know who to pick, yeah. Even though they're not the same as like Bullet Club Japan. So I'm going to go with Ace and Bay.
Yeah, I'm with you. I thought one of these two teams were going to come out of that four-way elimination tag match as the new champs. But since neither one of them did, I assume they're going to keep Ace and Bay still strong after, you know, they made a big deal about their great showing over in Japan in the World Junior Tag. So yeah, give me the Bullet Club. Another match that I accidentally told everyone about last week. That's later. Hold on, one more match. So anyway, Santino is backstage telling Josh about the six shooter goldens, whatever the hell it's called, the six way to find his next number one contender. He's interrupted by Giselle Shaw. She's got a win over the Death Dolls, so she feels she deserves a shot at the titles. Only she doesn't have any partners anymore because nobody likes her. Alicia Edwards goes walking by, and Santino, who's the new director of authority backstage, while Scott D'Amore is out because he got put through a table, and says, Alicia, you want a team with Giselle? You get a shot at the tag titles. Alicia says, ew, no, and walks off. Well, Giselle's getting that shot this week. We have no idea who her partner is going to be. quite frankly, I wouldn't be surprised to see it wind up being her stylist there or whatever the hell his role is, Jay Vidal. They've had men be the knock, you know, Eric Young famously was a Knockouts co-tag champion, so it wouldn't be unprecedented. I don't know if they've ever had two people who were born with balls as the tag champion.
I was just going to say, I don't know about two men.
But this week we will get Giselle Shaw and question mark facing the Death Dolls for the Knockouts tag titles. John Smith, what do you see happening here?
God willing, the Death Dolls hold on to those belts.
I'm a little afraid. I can't for the life of me think of anyone. I mean, unless Sue Young comes back out of nowhere, I can't think of who's going to be her partner. She's basically run off everyone in the company who's not a part of the Death Dolls. So
Masha.
Yeah, I mean, she think it make
you like employ her or something.
Yeah. I'm going to be rooting for the Death Dolls, so screw it. I'm just going to say the Death Dolls retain. Speaking of the conversation that set that one up, again, Santino was talking to Josh Alexander, explaining to him why he put together this number one contender match. We talked about it last week. There's really no reason to change, but I will give you a second bite at the apple. It's six former champions, Rick Swann, world champions, Rich Swann, Jesus, Sammy Callahan, who's now just Callahan, Eddie Edwards, Chris Sabin, Moose, and Rhino. It is a number one contender match, and it looks like it's just a six-pack scramble. It doesn't say anything about elimination, so I'm going to guess it's one fall to a finish. John Smith, I believe you had Moose. Any reason for you to move off of that pick?
I'm trying to do process elimination right now. It's either Moose or Rhino, I would say. So, yeah, I got to go with Moose.
Okay. Unfortunately, I saw a spoiler. Last week I said Swan. I'm not going to change or comment any further because, again, as much as I try to annoy them, ignore them and avoid them, I accidentally saw a spoiler on this one. So I will stick with Rich Swan. And that's going to do it for Impact for us. Let's move on over to AEW. Last week, we had Orange Cassidy defeating Jay Lethal to retain the All-Atlantic Championship. This one was a cluster bleep. Everyone got involved. Jarrett, Singh, Dutt, Best Friends, Danhausen, all under the guise that if they affected the outcome, Sanjay Dutt was going to get fired. So he spent more time keeping his buddies, Satnam and Jeff Jarrett, from getting him fired. Fast forward to this week. Just found this out about a half hour before the show. Jay Lethal will be in action again, and he will be facing, because unfortunately Warner Brothers wouldn't allow them to do anything last week other than a quick mention. I guess a way to give them a pat on the back, they're going to put his brother on TV, Mark Briscoe, who is still technically one half of the Ring of Honor Tag Champions, although with the unfortunate passing of his brother, I assume he's just going to be relinquishing them. But this week, he will face Jay Lethal one-on-one. John Smith, Mark Briscoe, Jay Lethal. Who do you got winning?
I think this is the biggest guarantee of all time that Mark Briscoe wins this match. I would bet my house and your house on it.
Yeah, I don't think I discussed it here on this show. I think maybe I was talking to our friend Brian Roy about this offline. I would not be surprised to see Mark Briscoe make a run, like maybe be either next up for Claudio or somebody else beats Claudio, and then Mark Briscoe steps in and he's the next one to get a title shot. Not only win it, but bring him. You'll remember perhaps when Jay was the world champion of Ring of Honor, he had his own special kind of like smoking skull, just for him belt. I would not be surprised to see Mark holding that belt in the air within the next 6 months or so. On Dynamite as well, that was the first match for the All-Atlantic Championship. The second match, which boy did we both get wrong, Top Flight took one over the Bucks with cha-ching, an AEW roll-up. when the Bucks missed a BTE trigger and slammed their knees together, and Darius used a modified roll-up on Matt to get a victory. I guess the Bucks don't care about two-on-twos because they're the three-on-three champs. Good for them. On Rampage, we saw Jungle Boy defeat Ethan Page in a match that had a cute little ending where Stokely Hathaway got involved. That brought out Hook, who had been Jungle Boy's partner previously. Jungle Jack went for a sunset roll-up, but Ethan Page reached outside the rope and grabbed Matt Hardy's ponytail to keep himself from being taken over in the sunset roll-up. And Matt Hardy was not paying attention to what was going on, just knew someone was pulling his hair. So he slapped Ethan's hand off of him, which allowed Jungle Boy to get the roll-up and the victory. Afterwards, Ethan Page, who is kind of torturing Matt, he owns his contract, blah, 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 said, "You cost me this match, so you owe me one. So we're going to tag up, and we're going to face those two jabronis." And those two jabronis are Jungle Boy and Hook. So this week we get that match. And it's on Dynamite. Ethan Page and Matt Hardy versus Jungle Hook. John Smith, who takes this one?
I'm gonna go with Jungle Hook here. I say Matt Hardy counts the lights on this one.
Yeah, I'd say that the smart money is on exactly that scenario. I will have to agree. The Guns and the Acclaimed did more talking. I wish they would just get to a match because they're pretty decent at wrestling. I could take it or leave it when they're talking. But Billy Gunn said that basically all this crap has to stop, and this week they're going to get family therapy. So, in other words, another friggin' talking segment between them all. Hangman Adam Page was backstage with Renee. Renee told him that her husband, John Moxley, both despises and cherishes Hangman for, you know, being such a good opponent. Hangman was touched by those words and says he's got some fences to mend along the way as he moves on. No idea what that means. I thought everything was fine between him and the Dark Order. I guess we'll see where that goes. Ortiz was in the ring with Schiavone to say that Eddie Kingston has lost his mind and almost hit a woman with a chair last week. Kingston came down. Ortiz called him a fake tough guy and a coward. So Eddie Kingston hit him with a chair. Moving on. Jade Cargo went to 49-1 in tag action when she and Layla Gray beat the Vanity Twins, Jada and Jordan. The commentators couldn't tell them apart, so I don't know which one of them took the Jaded, but that's how it ended. Saraya was pissed at Hikaru Shida for the stupid maneuver of throwing her kendo stick into the ring last week. Tony Storm said, it's not really Shida's fault. The issue is these homegrown AEW women who've existed in this bubble and just don't know what it's like out there in the big bad world like us. Tony said that she will show Willow why us outsiders like herself and Saraya are the best, and ordered Shida to stay backstage. Tony Storm was taking on Willow Nightingale, and 2 minutes into the match, Shida did come from backstage with her kendo stick. She didn't get involved in any way. Tony Storm wound up winning with a roll-up. Afterwards, Tony and Saraya attacked Willow. Ruby Soho made the save, and somehow that gets us to this week's triple threat match between Tony Storm, Ruby Soho, and Britt Baker? John Smith, who do you got winning this one?
I'm going to go with Ruby here because she's like, you know, the big thing right now because she got it all bloody a couple weeks ago. So they got to give her all like everything in the world after that because there's memes about her. So I'm going to go with Ruby.
All righty. I think I'm going to go with Tony just because, you know, like you said, Ruby just got that victory and Tony got this roll up. Damn it. Now I'm confused. I don't know. Screw it. I'm going to go with Tony just because I like Tony. And this isn't for number one contendership or anything like that, so it's not like we have any extra reason to figure out or pick who's going where. Last week on Dynamite, Ricky Starks beat Jake Hager in his stupid purple hat. Jericho got pissed off that Starks keeps beating them, and he decided that this week in tag action, himself and Sammy, Les Sex Gods, are taking on Starks, Buddy the Rookie that beat Jericho and Action Andretti. But Daniel Garcia said he wanted into that match. He wanted a team with Chris Jericho. And because Sammy has kind of been his mentor, Sammy said, you know what? That's a great idea. You've got a one-on-one match with Action Andretti. Win that match, and you can team with Chris Jericho, and I will step aside. Fast forward to Rampage. Daniel Garcia did not win that match. Action Andretti hit a tornado off the top buckle and then hit the running shooting star press, just like he did on Jericho, to get the victory. Therefore, back to the original plan, Les Sex Gods, Chris Jericho, and Sammy Guevara this week taking on Ricky Starks and Action Andretti. Who do you see winning this one, John Smith?
I'm going to go with Ricky and Action Andretti on here because they've been pushing Ricky so hard the past couple months. So I'm just gonna keep riding that. I've been picking him and he keeps winning, so I'm gonna keep picking him.
All righty. I think I'm gonna go the other way. Not that I have any strong feeling one way or the other, but I think Andretti's a rookie. He's got a win over Garcia, he's got a win over Jericho. He can afford to count the lights. And because Jericho's so pissed about this whole thing, there's 18 different people in the Jericho Appreciation Society who can help them out here and help them get a very unclean win. So I'm going to go with Les Sex Gods to take this one. Last week on Dynamite, we had Daniel Bryan beating Bandido in a very entertaining match. Afterwards, MJF interrupted the celebration to say that he feels unappreciated. And Daniel Bryan has only dealt with the masked MJF. And as they get closer to the pay-per-view, where they will, in all likelihood, face each other, that mask slips. And not even the American Dragon is ready to deal with the monster behind that mask. Brian Cage and Prince Nana were backstage with Renee, and MJF approached them with an envelope full of money and told Brian Cage to break. I don't care if he gets a win, as long as he breaks Bryan Danielson's arm and puts him out of action. Did you get to watch the Brian Cage Willie Mack match?
I did. I just watched it just now while we were doing this, and it wasn't that long of a match, but it was pretty good for two big men. A lot faster paced than you would expect. Yeah. What Willie Mack can do. He defies the laws of nature with that belly and the fact that he can do his moonsaults and. Probably he can hit a shooting star press if you let him, but it came down to Brian Cage hitting a big power bomb and then a big Falcon Arrow for a 1-2-3, and Willie Mack takes the L.
And on a more personal note, I didn't see you reach for the tissues. Are you okay with the fact that Willie Mack did not get to bring his theme music with him to AEW?
I didn't even realize because I got it on mute over here while I'm watching it. So, but yeah, did it sound anything similar?
Not really. It just kind of, it sounded very generic. I didn't really pay full attention to it. I was just like, is that his music? Is that, it's not his music. And I knew you would be distraught to find that out. So that's kind of why I gave you that match to watch. Okay, so that match will lead us to this week when Brian Cage, that victor of that match, takes on Bryan Danielson one-on-one on Dynamite. John Smith, who comes out of this one, the Machine, or Tiny Bryan Danielson?
I mean, it's got to be Danielson because he's the better wrestler. But what is this belt that Brian Cage is holding right now that I see on my TV?
It is the six-man Ring of Honor belt.
They have so many freaking belts.
Exactly.
Like, man. That list of the AEW roster, that could also be the list of AEW championship belts.
Yeah. Well, it could be the list of all companies' championship belts because, like New Japan – when somebody comes over who's got a belt in another company, they're just like, yeah, come on, bring it on our television. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you that Danielson gets it done, but I pray he gets it done with a submission, because that's the only way I can believe Danielson could beat Brian Cage. Brian Cage outweighs him by almost 100 pounds.
Yep.
And most of that 100 pounds is pure muscle and athleticism somehow. All right. Did you make it to Darby and Kushida?
I only saw like bits and pieces of that, 'cause I was talking a lot while I had that on my thing here. But, what I did notice was a lot of reversals by Kushida and a lot of submission attempts by him, and Darby tossing his body around like he's immortal, which is, you know, pretty standard for a Darby Allin match. But then he ends up, crossing Kushida's legs for a figure four type move, but then falls forward into a pin. I think that's one of his moves, right?
Yeah. He calls it the Last Supper, and I've argued back and forth with Al, and I think we landed on the fact that that counts as a roll up, because it's a wrestling move. It's it's kind of a grapple, and you kind of wind up trapped by the figure four and then rolling back. So, cha-ching, another AEW roll up win for Darby Allin.
Lots of roll ups this week.
You said it. And afterwards, that was on Dynamite. On Rampage, Darby Allin said he's got some old scores to settle, especially with the House of Black. And forget about the open challenge. He flat out challenged Buddy Matthews. And we're getting that one. We're calling that, because it's a title match, we're calling this our main event of the program. Darby Allin and Buddy Matthews for the TNT title on Dynamite this week. John Smith, what say you?
I'd love to just speak it into existence, so I'm going to say Matthews, even though I really don't think he's going to win. I'm hoping maybe just like the House of Black gets involved and they steal that belt from him or something. That'd be nice.
But in your heart of hearts, you know it's not going to happen, right?
Right, because Darby can literally beat anybody in AEW now that he's like, it's ridiculous.
I mean, yeah, once he beat Brody King cleanly, I was like, oh, okay. So basically what they're saying is there's no one he can't beat.
Right.
So, yeah, I believe that Darby will retain. But like you, I will be rooting heavily for Buddy Matthews. But I think, most importantly, I think these two will put on a hell of a match, because Matthews is just ridiculous.
Word.
All right. That is going to do it. Let's take a look. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Go down to the music. Let's lower it a little bit. And let's go back up to... Here are the roll-ups from this week. We got an NXT, and we got A-Dub. And that one was what? SmackDown. Shante and Alberto.
Wow, AEW 4-1 week.
They did not like the fact that Raw came out of the gate hot and was pushing to get their title back, so AEW went right back on top. All right. All right, let's go back and pay the bills. John Smith, you going to take this one this week?
The Primetime Rundown is back in its usual day and time as Joey Jarzycka, Ian Schreier, and Mike Szabo return to Friday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And everything you need to know in the sports world. Do you have an interest in becoming a sports reporter? Would you want to be asking high-profile coaches and players questions in person? Are you a college student looking to break into the sports media industry and looking to write about your favorite team? The Eastern Observer is looking for interested candidates to join the family for college credit. Look no further. Aspiring writers, social media specialists, content creators, etc. can inquire by emailing eosports3@gmail.com. We're looking forward to having you join the Eastern Observer family. The Black Cats NYC are the official band of the Eastern Observer. Check out their latest album, Free Cake, on any of these music providers. YouTube, Spotify, SoundCloud, Deezer, anywhere where you can get music, you can get the Black Cats NYC's album, Free Cake, out now. Play loud. As always, the EWP is sponsored by Pro Wrestling Pick'em, the internet leader in sports entertainment pick'em pools. Join us in the EWP public pool to play against us or create a private pool with you and your friends. ProWrestlingPick'em.com. Play against your friends. Play against the universe. And guys, she'll like it too. Join us back here next week for episode number 135. No, we're not going to be here next week for episode 135. Am I right?
Well, this was 135. Yeah, it looks like we're going to be taking a little bit of a break. Our creator and fearless leader, Al Carl, has some ideas on how to streamline the show a little bit. So we're going to give him a little time to finish fleshing that out. And we're going to do a reboot somewhere down the line. But in all likelihood, God willing, we will be back before Mania. So this weekend kicks off the road to WrestleMania. We'll be back in time to talk about Mania with you. We're just not sure when. It could be a couple weeks. It could be a month plus. But keep your eyeballs in this area, however you are listening or watching us now. Keep an eye out. We will be back at some point.
Make sure you like and subscribe.
Yes, because, of course, it's all about the algorithm. John Smith, did we miss anything this week?
No, man. I'm psyched for the Rumble. It's very interesting this year. You don't really know what's going to happen in either one. All we know is Roman's beating KO. So, I'm psyched, and I'm just going to be watching Rumbles all week to get myself even more psyched.
There you go. Yes, it is. As I said at the top of the show, yeah, WrestleMania is wonderful, but every year I get excited the most for the Royal Rumble. That's gonna do. You want to lay out how you see the Super Bowl going down, since we probably won't be back in time for that.
Oh yeah, sure. I mean, my first thought was Eagles versus Chiefs, so it's probably going to be the opposite because that's usually how things work for me. The reason why is because Brock Purdy, great story, but he's still a rookie. So I think Jalen Hurts wins that one. And, the Chiefs, yeah, they're the number one seed, but they've been kind of off the radar all year because everybody, loved the Bills. And then, the Bengals are like the new kids on the block. And, the Chiefs kind of been getting overlooked this year. So I'm going to say that the Chiefs beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
Okay. I'm going to go a little different. I got San Francisco continuing this role that they're on. Although the Eagles, we weren't sure what the Eagles were going to look like last week. And then they put a whooping on the Giants. So I think that's going to be a real good game. But Mahomes a little gimpy. And Joe Burrow seems to have ice water in his veins. I got the Bengals not only making it through the Super Bowl, I have the Bengals winning their first Lombardi Trophy.
Wow.
Yeah. And if I do anywhere near as well as I do on my wrestling picks, that's not going to come close to happening. So,
well, one of us kind of has to be right a little bit,
Yeah, yeah.
Either both of us are half right or one of us is all right.
There you go. All right, that's going to do it for us, folks. As we always do, as we leave you, did these pictures get moved around? No, they haven't changed in months. So I should probably find it exactly where I always find it. Alexa Bliss, we love you, and we're rooting for you this weekend. For the love of God, take that strap from Bianca Belair.
Please.
And in the meanwhile, Larry Steve is always in our hearts. Thanks for joining us, folks. And as always, we wish you the best in all your future endeavors.
Cody's trash.